Take your Bibles this morning. We're going to look at two brief passages. Number one is from the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and we will be reading verses 5 through 9. After that, we'll go over to Hebrews chapter 11, where we will read one verse from that chapter, verse 7. And of course, if you haven't been here lately, we've been walking our way through the great heroes of the faith that are found in Hebrews chapter 11. So first of all, though, Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And so the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals, creeping things, and birds of the heavens. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Just one other verse there. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Then over to Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Each person that is listed in the Hall of Fame here of faith, as they mention a different aspect about him in the scriptures. And one of the things we saw that when we looked at the man Abel, we saw that Abel was someone who knew how to worship God properly. And so we looked at the worship that is connected with our faith. Then we spent some time looking at the story of the man Enoch last time. And we noted the fact that Enoch was a man who walked with God, one who faithfully carried out the life that was expected of him as a believer. We see that that was also true of Noah, but with Noah we want to stress another aspect of faith, and that is namely that Noah's life we find what it's all about regarding working by faith. Noah proved to be a great and incredible workman, as we will see. We're going to notice five things about this man and the work of faith that was found in his life. The first thing that we want to know about Noah is the fact that he was one who activated a good reputation. Everybody wants to have a good reputation. We want people to like us. We want people to think well of us. But that doesn't just come naturally. That is something that is activated by people observing the lives that we live, by the conduct that we manifest, by the type of character that is true of our life. And when people looked at this man, Noah, they noticed that he stood out very definitely, because Noah's world, like the scripture tells us here, like the world of Enoch also, was so wicked that everyone's thoughts and intentions were only evil continually. Sometimes you look at the things that are going on. I'll tell you, it's so hard nowadays to watch the television news because there is so much evil going on everywhere, not just in our own country, but around the world. We see incredible things happening, and we just wonder, how long can this keep going on? It's very frustrating. And yet, this is not anything new in a certain sense, because we know that this has happened throughout the ages, and we know that it will actually happen worse and worse as the time of Jesus' return draws near. But in spite of all of this, we read that Noah was a righteous man who did what was right and who walked with integrity. He was a man who for a number of years, actually 120 years, faithfully served the Lord in an honorable way. The Bible says here that he was blameless or a perfect man. And when we see this word blameless in the scripture, we must never think that it is a synonym for sinlessness, that Noah was not a sinner. Noah sinned even as everyone sins. But the characteristics of his life were this, that Noah, though he was not without sin, nevertheless lived such a life that when people looked at him, they did not see any outstanding characteristics or deficiencies in his life that rendered him somehow less than a faithful servant of the Lord. And that's something that the Bible wants of us all. If you study the New Testament, you know that when Paul was writing the instructions for those who would occupy church office, he did not select certain spiritual gifts primarily. There was only one that he mentions, and that is the ability to teach. But all the other characteristics that Paul mentions when he writes to Timothy, they are all characteristics that are of a spiritual nature. In other words, people that are serving in the church of God should be those that are trying to manifest the Christian life as closely to the Bible as possible. And that, of course, is something that's a challenge for everybody to do. But nonetheless, right in that list there that Paul gives to Timothy, he said, if someone's going to be in that position, they need to be what? Blameless. Same word here that is being used in regard to Noah. Noah was blameless. All right, so we see that Noah was one who had a good reputation, and in that, this was shown even by the work that he did. People made fun of the work that he was doing because they didn't understand it. They didn't understand why anybody would be out there in that region building this great big thing called an ark. And yet, though they didn't understand it, they could not help but admire this man's faith and the level of his commitment to God. Now, the second thing that we notice is that he helped to also not only activate a good reputation, but to cultivate a Christ-honoring life. Now, Jesus Christ had not come into the world in the same sense that he did later on in the New Testament times. But nonetheless, we know that people were aware of Christ and of the way in which they were expected to live as believers. And this man, Noah, was one who sought to do that. It was as though the things of God were central in his life. Everything that he did, he sought to do for the honor and the glory of the Lord. One of the outstanding things about Jesus' life was that he always sought to do the will of his heavenly Father. Jesus lived a perfect life. He's the only man who ever did. Jesus is the only man who ever lived who never sinned. And yet he always sought to do the will of his Father in heaven. And you know what? It seems like Noah was that kind of man too. Certainly not without sin, as we will see later in our message today, but certainly also a man who was sought to do what the will of God was for his life. Now, what was the will of God for his life in particular? What work did God have for him to do? Well, God told Noah that he was going to destroy the world because of its wickedness. And the only way that he could possibly be spared in that situation would be if he would construct an ark. And he had to do it exactly in the manner in which God instructed him to do. By the way, if you haven't seen the news or some of the advertisements that are out there, an ark like this has now been built down in Kentucky. And right there at the creation research area there, it's amazing that we're being reminded every day of the things of the Bible. Someone took the time and the effort to put that thing together. I can't wait to get down there and see it. I know that my daughter Lisa, who is a little closer to all of that than we are, she had free tickets to go down and see the ark, and I can hardly wait to see it for myself once, what it would be like. But we do know certain things about this ark. We know that it was 450 feet long, that it was 75 feet wide, that it was 45 feet high, and today modern shipbuilders use the same proportions when they build ships as well. Many times when a ship is built in order to secure stability and so forth, they do it in the following manner. They make the boat 6 times longer than they are wide, because that helps to make for some stability. God gave him an absolutely stable situation in which to have this ark, and told him how to build it and what to do and how to make it and put it all together. And the important thing was not only that God told him all of this, but that Noah did it. Now, you know, we are so used to doing things so quickly nowadays. We see things that can be built very quickly. I'm always amazed, even when I go down to the Amish part of Indiana there, and I see how quickly they can put up these barns. I mean, they are not even people that are as technically orientated as the rest of the construction industry, and yet in a matter of just a day or two, they can put up whole barns, do it quickly. It's astounding to see how fast people can work nowadays. But in Noah's case, building this thing to be able to house not only his family, but all of these animals as well, it took him a long period of time. There's no electric saws or, you know, special hammers or screwdrivers or special equipment of any kind. It was all going to be done by hand with whatever tools they had available. And some people believe that when Noah built this, this was the first boat that ever had been built on the earth. We do not read in scriptures of any other boat. We do not know historically of any other boat being built. And so it is likely that that is in fact the case, that Noah built the first boat that had ever been built. And yet, where was the water for this boat? Many believe that until this time, there had not even been rain on the earth. Now, we know how important rain is, and you might say, well, how in the world did they keep the earth irrigated then at that time? And the good news is that there was a certain mist and a certain dew that watered the earth, so that even prior to the first rain, God was able to continue to nourish the earth. I've noted that even right now, that while we are not getting the rain that we want, we also, when I get up in the morning, I look out at my lawn and I can see the dew has been out there. And there's still some nice green out there yet, because God is preserving it, even though we haven't seen the rain that we would like to get. Well, anyway, so along with this, though, this is the astounding thing to me. There were 35,000 species of animals that were on board that ark. Now, don't ask me how they know this. I don't know how they researched all of this. I just know what good scholarship tells me. 35,000 species on board that ark. And can you imagine how difficult that would be to feed all of these animals and to store feed for all these animals, not to mention to clean up after them? Whew. Boy, that would be quite a task, wouldn't it? Cleaning up an ark like that. Oh. And you know what? It's a good reminder that sometimes when you're in the will of God, it's not always an easy thing. It's not always easy to do the will of God. God doesn't say, well, you know, you do my will and I guarantee you that it's going to be, you know, comfort and everything else. No, it was a hard task to accomplish all of this. And yet, Noah did the will of God as it was made known to him. That's what we need to do as well. We need to obey all the commands that Scripture gives us. We need to heed all the warnings that Scripture gives us. We need to also follow through with all of the things that is God's will for our life too, that are for our life rather, that are tied in with our talents and our gifts and the callings that God gives to each one of us. We need to be working for God in the area that He has given us to do. But you know, there's something else that's very incredible about this man, Noah. He also found time in the midst of all of this project to be preaching the word of God to his generation. Now, we don't read that he went to Bible school somewhere, that he had some theological degree or anything like that, that he was not given a Master's of Divinity degree or anything of that sort. No, he was simply a God-fearing, God-honoring man who was doing the will of God and who was telling people what God had showed to him. You know, that's all that God is asking for you, from you and for me too. We are to share with others what the Lord has shown to us. We can't share what we don't know. That's why it's so important that Christians read their Bibles all the time, because the more you know, the more you have to share. The more you're able to answer people's questions too when they ask you questions. But you know what? None of those kind of tools were available to Noah, but he used what he had. He told the people of his generation the facts. And, you know, this is something too that we know this because of what the scriptures tell us in the New Testament book of Jude and so forth, that all of this was going on while the ark was also being built. Now, when all the animals and all the members of Noah's family were on board the ark, God shut him in. It was God who said, "It's time to go now." And the door was shut. And you know what? God loves to have open doors. God loves to open doors so that people can come, so that people can heed his invitation, so that they can respond to the gospel message. God loves to open doors, and yet God is also at times going to shut the door. The day came in Noah's day that after everybody was in the ark that was supposed to be there, that God himself shut the door. And it's just like the book of Revelation tells us. God says that he has the key of David that opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one will open. Remember that. When God gives us an open door and we go out and we spread the gospel with others, a lot of people say, well, you know, people won't put up with that. Somebody will stop it. Somebody will shut the door. They're not going to shut the door on the gospel until God says it's all right. And the same thing is true from the opposite standpoint too. When people say, well, you know, it doesn't matter if I come to the Lord or not. I'll just live any way that I want to, do whatever I want, believe whatever I want. And you know, there'll always be a chance yet. There'll always be a way somehow that I can come. No, there comes a time, like the old gospel song says, there's a time when the line is drawn by rejecting the Lord and the call of his Spirit made known. Even now it may be that the line you have crossed. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? God will give opportunities for people to come, and he'll do that many times in spite of all of their wickedness and their evil. But the time will eventually come when God is going to shut the door and where it will no longer be possible for people to come. You know, this is a sad thing, but it happened that way. In Noah's day, the wickedness of man was great, and it was a terrible evil. And this is why that when Jesus talks about this whole thing, he says that when he comes to earth again someday in his second coming, in Matthew 24:37, he tells us that when he comes to earth at the second coming, that the world at that time will be as it was in the days of Noah. It's going to be a horrible situation in the world. Don't be surprised by the evil that you see seeming to increase. Remember, there's a lot of signs now that we are drawing closer to the end, not just because of the fact that every day draws us closer to the return of Jesus Christ. But remember, one of the things that had to happen before Jesus comes back is that Israel had to be a nation again and back in her land. She is. The Bible says, too, that in the last days there's going to be great evil that's going to come even in the area of Israel, that Israel herself will experience great challenges and difficulty. And yet all of these things seem to be happening, too. They all seem to be coming true just the way that God says. God is never wrong, friends. His word is never wrong. Count on it. Well, Noah did a fourth thing. He also anticipated his inheritance. You know, it's a lot easier to work when you have something to look forward to. When you know that when the work is done, that it's going to be worth it all. The old songwriter tells us that. He says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem so small when we see Christ. Sometimes it's very hard to be a Christian. Sometimes it's hard to live for the Lord. Sometimes you take a whole lot of grief and a whole lot of abuse for being a Christian. But you know what? It will be worth it all, because in the end, everything that God says is going to happen, it will come true. And all that He has promised by way of inheritance, and all that He has declared by way of blessing, it's going to happen. Because of his faith, Noah became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The word heir here in the Greek text is a word that refers to something that is received other than by merit. It is a grace gift that God gives, and it comes through faith. How are you and I saved? By being good enough and earning our way into heaven? No. No. We're saved by accepting the gospel invitation by faith, and God graciously, freely gives to us the gift of salvation. A good life of obedience is something that flows out of the faith that we have. Faith without works is dead, but faith with works is alive. If we have real faith in Jesus Christ, we can be saved from our sins, and yet God will also see the faith that we have and the lives that have flown out of that faith, and God will bless them. Did God bless Noah and his family? He surely did. Just think about that. Noah and his wife, his sons and their wives, the only human beings left on the earth at that time. People say, well, I don't believe all that stuff. Well, I want to tell you something. You'd have to be quite foolish not to believe it. Here's why. Do you know that in every culture of the world today, there are people who know about the flood story? It's been something that has been passed along throughout the human race. Why that story? Why does everybody tell it? Because it's something that affected the entire human race. Why, too, do we have even the evidence in certain things in nature that testify to the fact that there was something amazing? Remember when the flood came, how the Bible describes it. It says that the windows of heaven are opened up and they pour down water. But what else does it say? It says the fountains of the deep broke forth. That's exactly what happened. People who are scientists who really know about these things tell us that if you could go beneath the surface of the oceans now, you can see that in some places there, it's almost like you're looking at a baseball. If you look at a baseball, you see that the baseball's held together by the seams on the ball. And it's almost like if you look beneath the oceans now, it's like there are things that appear to have been sealed up again, or at one time have broken forth, but now are in some ways sealed, just like the skin on that baseball are. There is evidence there, and people have seen this. But you know, some people are so determined to be godless and to be against the Lord that their minds will not be changed by the facts. My mind is already made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. Well, all right. If you don't want the facts, then what else can we say? But the facts are true. The scriptures tell us that this happened. Jesus, the sinless man, taught the truth about Noah. That's why he said, when I come back to earth, things are going to be just like they were in the days of Noah. Jesus knew all about that because he is God. And he knew what the world was like then. And he knew also, because he is a perfect prophet, he knows what is going to happen at the time of his second coming. He knows all of these things, and everything that God has declared will be found to be true. You say, well, there are scientists who are, yes. I've heard all the stories. But you know what? They don't do very well when you sit down with them and you start talking with them. It doesn't take very long to stop many people who are so confident that the Bible is just full of errors. It's quite amazing how quickly they plead ignorance. Well, I don't know the Bible like you do. Well, I can't explain that. Well, you know why? Because you don't want to know it. But we know it, and we should believe it. want to make sure that you have the righteousness that Noah had. How do you get it? By faith in Christ. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You do that and you will be saved. God promises it. Now, as I said, Noah was not a perfect man. And there's something else we learn from Noah's life, and that is about stumbling as well. After the flood was over, after all the water had gone down, Noah went back to his farming career. He had been a farmer beforehand, and now he was back to farming again. And as he was farming, he put together a vineyard. And one day, he went out to the vineyard. He gathered up his grapes. Eventually, he made some wine out of it, some fermented drink. And instead of just having a glass or two of that, what did he do? He sat down and he indulged freely and to such an extent that he became drunk. And there he was, laying uncovered in his tent as a total bad testimony to a life that had been very godly. Now, what about this man? Well, I want you to remember one thing. The Bible tells that story about him, and yet it also tells us one thing more. What does it tell us? It tells us right here that Noah is in the heroes of the faith. Everybody falls into sin sometimes. Everybody does things, says things, believes things, speaks things that are not as they should be. But you know what? That wasn't the end of the story. We see the end of the story when we see Noah right here being honored by God, being placed in the hall of fame of the heroes of the faith right here in Hebrews chapter 11. And this is what God wants us to do. We all sin. But when we do, what should we do? The first step to that is to immediately seek to be reestablished in fellowship with God. Keep in mind, once you're a Christian, you do not lose your salvation. You can never lose your salvation. Even when we are faithless, the Bible says he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. If God says, you are my child, you belong to me, and you are part of my family, God is not going to throw people out of his family. But you know how it is in family sometimes. Even if people are still members of the same family, sometimes there can be tension, there can be strife. And that's also true in the family of God. Sometimes people are not living in harmony and fellowship with the Heavenly Father. But you know what? The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just, who will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. All of the wrong. And you know what? There's only one thing that God will not forgive, and that is the continual rejection of His Son. If you continue to reject Jesus Christ and will not receive Him as your Savior, eventually you will die in unbelief, and God will not pardon that unbelief. But anyone else, no matter how they have fallen, the Bible says that there is good news. There's an old saying that says a champion always gets up. We will occasionally stumble and fall, but with God's help, we will always get up again and continue to serve Him. And how do we know that? Because Psalm 37, 24 tells us this. This is what it says. Though he falls, talking about a godly man now, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. God doesn't cast away eternally those believers in him who have stumbled. In fact, is he not only does not cast them headlong, but more than that, he upholds them by his powerful hands. The Bible says that those who believe in Christ will be drawn to the Lord. And Jesus himself says, and no one shall pluck them out of my hands. My Father who gave them to me, said Christ, is greater than all. And no one can pluck them out of my hands. Not even Satan. No one can pluck them out of the hands of Jesus Christ. And so when people fall into sin and when they stumble, what should they do? They need to go back to the Father and put it right as far as fellowship is concerned. Their salvation is already established, but they need to get into fellowship with God again. And when they do that, God says that he will uphold us with his powerful hand and see us through. Nobody that's in the heroes of faith was a perfect man or woman. Not even godly Sarah. But you know what? Every one of them were loved by God, saved by God, will spend eternity with God, and are part of the testimony of God regarding what it means to be a real Christian living in a sinful world and trying to serve the Lord. That's what God wants from your life. That's what God wants for my life. God is looking for faith's heroes, people who are ready to stand up in spite of all the stuff that's going on around us, people who are ready to commit themselves wholeheartedly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray to God now. Our Father, we come to you today. We are thankful for this story in the Scriptures, how you preserved the world in the days of Noah, how you made it possible even for us to be here today, because that man worked for 120 years to build an ark that made it possible for the generations of human beings to keep on going, and that even today we are part of the human history that flows all the way back to that time when Noah and his family built that ark. Lord, we give you the glory for everything that we have seen and everything that you have told us about what you have done. Thank you, Lord. Help us to serve you faithfully like Noah did and work diligently to do all the things that you have called us to do. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.